You've heard this before. It's nearly impossible to put a price on happiness and contentment. I'm WSHU music host Emily Boyer. Thousands of people are coming together to bolster cultural expression, celebrate the arts and artists, and make this music accessible to everyone, regardless of their background. You know who you are. You're a financial supporter of WSHU. Thank you for everything you do for our community with your contributions. We're expanding our world together.
You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from around Long Island Sound. Connecticut Governor Lamont says he's considering a third term. U.S. Senator Blumenthal proposed a bill to help gun violence victims. Some Long Island fishermen are suing the president. Plus, the controversy surrounding the first flight. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Isabella Fabo, filling in for Sabrina Garone. Connecticut Democratic Governor Ned Lamont says he is seriously considering seeking a third term in office in 2026. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
Lamont says he's leaning toward running for a third term because of his experience steering the state during the last 2 years of President Donald Trump's first term in Washington.
I know some of the players down there. That makes a big difference. You've got to navigate through incredible uncertainty since every week there's another changing incoming coming on. It just makes me feel like this may be a good place for me to be.
He says he's a Democrat who's not looking to pick a fight with the Trump administration.
I'm working with the White House on things like energy. But if you want to come to one of my schools and try and take a dreamer out of that classroom, I'll be standing there at the door. So I don't need to go out and pick a fight, but I think people know where I stand.
Lamont was responding to questions at a news conference he'd called to discuss the just concluded 2025 state legislative session. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal has introduced a bill he says would give gun violence victims their day in court. But WSHU's Molly Ingram reports it has a slim chance of becoming law.
The bill would repeal the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act, or PLACA. The 2005 law blocks gun violence victims and their families from suing gun manufacturers. Blumenthal admitted that it's a hard sell to his Republican colleagues and president.
Obviously, we face an administration that has very little sympathy for gun violence protection. We face still long odds in Congress, but keeping alive this idea, sustaining the momentum in states that care about our leadership here and making sure that victims of gun violence know they have advocates is all tremendously important.
When families of the Sandy Hook shooting sued Remington, their lawsuit was almost blocked by PLACA. They instead sued through Connecticut's consumer protection laws and won. Their success is extremely rare. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
A coalition of Long Island fishermen are suing the Trump administration over its decision to allow a massive wind farm off the South Shore. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio reports.
The fishermen say in court documents the Trump administration was right to stop work on Empire Wind in April, and it acted illegally when it reversed that decision last month. Bonnie Brady is with the Long Island Commercial Fishing Association, one of the plaintiffs.
It's almost a quicksand pool of things not to do, not only to commercial fishermen, but to the environment, to all the marine mammals, to everything, and to the ratepayers ultimately. But they chose to keep going. So once they removed the stop work order, we had no choice but to sue.
Brady says they want another review of the potential impacts to the environment and fishing areas. Supporters of Empire Wind say the permitting process was thorough. President Trump signed an executive order in January, blocking most wind farms. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
Were the Wright brothers really the first in flight? Some people disagree. That's ahead with a new episode of Off the Path.
Local support comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
I'm Janice Roman, and I'm a reporter for WSHU Public Radio. Staying well informed is essential to a strong democracy. Understanding the facts and cutting through the noise takes work. At WSHU, our mission is to help you do just that, with coverage from our newsroom, NPR, and the BBC. Your financial support makes it all possible. We're expanding our world together.
Milford firefighters settled a lawsuit against the city about overtime pay. Nearly 90 former and current firefighters will get $300,000 in back pay and another $100,000 to cover their legal costs. They sued the town in June of 2023 for incorrectly calculating their pay. Two Long Island brothers allegedly ran a $5.5 million vehicle fraud scheme. In total, 33 people and two Suffolk County businesses were charged. The scheme started in March 2022, and the arrests were the result of a 2.5-year investigation. Those involved allegedly bought and resold at least 70 cars using fraudulent paperwork. Drownings in Suffolk County increased 60% over the last year. There were 24 drownings in 2024, up from 15 in 2023. Long Island officials are urging people to practice water safety and awareness during the summer. Drowning is the leading cause of death for children ages 1 through 4. New Haven Mayor Justin Elliker released a statement where he shared his thoughts on the newly approved state budget for 2026 and 2027. WSHU's Beatrice Lovato has more.
In his statement, Mayor Elliker criticized Governor Ned Lamont for blocking more state funding for education. New Haven schools are facing a $16.5 million deficit, which implies tough decisions are ahead, including staff layoffs and program cuts. He believes the governor's focus on keeping state spending low and his view that urban schools don't need more money are hurting students. Elliker argued that while the governor claims the state is giving historic support to education, that's misleading. The per-student funding amount hasn't increased since 2013, staying stuck at over $11,000, despite rising costs. He also pointed out that most school funding actually comes from local towns, not the state. Only 36% of school funding in Connecticut is from the state, making it one of the lowest in the country. Beatrice Lovato, WSHU News.
Most of us learned in school that the Wright brothers flew the first plane in 1903 in North Carolina's Outer Banks. But some people say someone else deserves a credit, a German immigrant named Gustav Whitehead. He allegedly flew his flying machine near Fairfield, Connecticut, 2 years before the Wright brothers. WSHU's Davis Donovan lays out the controversy for the series Off the Path.
The Bridgeport Sunday Herald ran a sensational story in August of 1901. They said a biplane flew 50 feet in the air for about half a mile and then landed safely in a field. John Brown runs the website GustavWhitehead.com, a repository of information he says proves Whitehead beat the Wright brothers to a flying machine.
All of the illustration, the descriptions of how it happened, the way things were tested, the way the flight proceeded, everything is credible. Nothing is at odds with what would be believable, what would be feasible.
Brown is an aviation safety consultant. He was an advisor on a Smithsonian documentary in 2012 when he came across Whitehead's name in his research.
And I sat down with the chief curator of the Smithsonian, Tom Crouch at the time. He's retired since. And he saw me flipping through my manuscript and he said, "You're not writing about Whitehead, are you?" And I said, "Well, yeah, you know." And he said, "Yeah, but you know he didn't fly, right?" Now, by that time, the temperature in the room had dropped about 20 degrees.
Crouch wrote an op-ed rebutting Whitehead's flight a year after the confrontation. Crouch suggested the newspaper article from the Herald in 1901 may have been a flight of fancy based on embellishments and Whitehead's hopes. But John Brown thinks the Wright brothers were frauds, and he's annoyed that the Smithsonian officially recognizes the brothers as the first to fly.
And people still believe this stuff. There's a lot of incongruities about the current version of aviation history that serious people believe in the U.S.
John Brown and Tom Crouch went back and forth in the press for the next few years. And so did a host of other aviation experts and historians on both sides. Here's Tom Crouch at a presentation in 2013.
A lot of the witnesses are just contradictory. They tell completely different stories. One talks about the airplane crashing and burning, for example. Most of them can't give you a date or even a year.
John Brown and other Whitehead supporters blame what they call a secret contract between the Wright brothers and the Smithsonian in 1948. Under the agreement, the Smithsonian had permission to put the Wright brothers' plane in its museum as long as it recognized the brothers' achievement. But the Smithsonian says it would not honor the contract if it had convincing evidence the Wrights weren't first. There's only one state in the country that has embraced Whitehead's place in history.
House Joint Resolution number 87, recognizing Connecticut as first in flight.
This is the Connecticut House of Representatives, May 5th, 2013.
Resolved by this assembly, whereas the first man-controlled flight of a powered, heavier-than-air aircraft was reported in Fairfield, Connecticut.
The bill was the crowning achievement of longtime state representative Larry Miller, a Whitehead believer.
The Wright brothers were always touted as the first in flight. And Larry Miller, with a lot of research and a lot of determination, I believe has proved that the Wright brothers were the second in flight.
Then Connecticut Governor Daniel Malloy signed the resolution into law. And one Connecticut man was so convinced Whitehead flew first that he set out to prove it with a homemade replica. That's on the next Off the Path from WSHU Public Radio. I'm Davis Donovan.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, online at WSHU.org or with the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. I'm Isabella Fabo, filling in for Sabrina Garone. Thanks for listening, and I'll speak to you tomorrow.